In Texas, we don't mess around when it comes to protecting babies from Satanists.
So, here we go.
This is where it gets good. Because everybody knows that Satanists don't like electric guitar.
Or that's black and white footage.
They hate most of all electric guitar.
Watch, and this is where it's seriously, watch this. They come out with their rituals. Oh, yeah, right. No devil here. Some people use holy water to cast the demons out. I use this full send rifle. Watch the thumb trigger action. This is so actually cool. Watch. Devil worshippers beware. Boom. Molech. Gone. All right. Let's get into this. Speaking of satanic people, if you can go to my screen here, Savannah, Brian Stelter from CNN is back at it again with his egg-shaped head and his potato personality. He's back in the news. Not only does he make the news, he's back in the news saying an unvaccinated minority that doesn't watch the news or trust the news is putting the vaccinated majority at undue risk. There's no way around that reality. Now, it comes as to no surprise because Brian Stelter is the champion of health and of peak male performance. And you know, I have to feel like this. Some people wonder, you know what I mean? We don't like to talk a lot about our own personal sexualities. This is making me feel a little gay. Because he's attractive. This is exactly the kind of person I want to be taking advice from for what I put in my body. We know there's a lot of things he probably likes to put into his. To talk about this and a lot more, I have brought the lovely and wonderful Sydney Watson of the creatively named channel Sydney Watson back on the show. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Did your brain just short circuit when you were trying to say that?
The dog was distracting me. Murphy was distracting me with his whistles and stuff. It threw me off.
It's whistles. He's yawning, Elijah. It's a normal process.
I thought he was catcalling Brian Stelter.
He was. He was like, come here, Brian.
A little trans species homosexuality to top off our Satanist episode.
Exactly. That's how we like it on this show.
Yeah, we do. You know, I got to tell you this. This is such a big deal. I am such a big supporter of Brian Stelter that I actually wrote this. I wrote a message, an ode to him. I wrote an ode. And I said, get vaccinated, folks, so you can look as healthy as Brian Stelter does at 36. I am so moved by his exemplary lifestyle that I've dedicated my Twitter to him for at least one half the day. We need more brave Chad journalists like him setting a good example of peak physical performance. And I put up the picture of him. I mean, look at that. Oh, nice.
I really have some thick calves.
I thoroughly enjoy how you're not even dedicating a full day to him. It's only a half day.
No, it's a half day. And I actually, changed my bio to a healthy 36-year-old. And I have my description as vaccines are excellent. Fauci farts my fupa. And this is a Brian Stelter fan page for one half the day because you can get in trouble for impersonating people on Twitter. So okay. I'm not impersonating him. This is just his fan page and the eggs on the screen because you can't bully people have nothing to do with his head maybe looking like an egg. It's just to promote protein and to use the phrase excellent.
You know, it's funny because we were talking about this before we started filming. And this morning I went onto Twitter to read the news as I often do. And I looked at this and I thought, who the hell made their profile all about Brian Stelter? What is this? And I thought, honestly, for a second, it was Jack Posobiec because he loves doing this sort of stuff. And then lo and behold, it was you. You know what, Elijah? I'm not even shocked anymore. I'm not even shocked.
You know, and I love writing things like, look, like 25 booster shots later, can't wait. And I think actually, even if I refresh the page, I wrote one thing too. This is actually, I think it'll probably pop up. Oh yeah, here you go. I wrote, I'm writing quotes that could be from him or could not be. This one says here, let me zoom in here. For some, colonoscopies can be scary and uncomfortable. For me, it's actually a fun and enjoyable experience. Sometimes I even do them to myself voluntarily. I'm an amateur proctologist after all. Sunglass emoji. Quote, a healthy 36-year-old. Not to say that that's Brian Stelter. That would be putting words in his mouth.
Yeah, for sure.
Also reminding you guys that I have Sydney on today, most importantly, because tomorrow our new show launches. You Are Here. You can go to youtube.com/youarehere daily and you need to subscribe to the show. We just hit over 45,000 subscribers. I'm so excited. You're so excited.
Super excited. I mean, and I think I can't overstate this. If you are one of the first, or within the first 50,000 subscribers, I might say more bizarre things on the show.
Yeah, she's going to start OnlyFans.
I will.
But the OnlyFans is just me preaching the Bible at you and telling you that you're naughty.
And that photo of Savannah with white stuff on her face.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
This is actually true.
But you should go. Please go click there. Be one of the first 50,000 subscribers. We're really excited if you go there and you join and you're part of the original part of the family. It launches tomorrow, again, Thursday, this Thursday at 6 p.m. Central at youtube.com/youarehere daily.
It helps us tremendously. Yes. They said we couldn't do it, but here we are and we're going to do it.
They only wanted us to hit 10,000 subscribers in order to launch this show.
Yep.
And we hit 45,000 before we even launched a video. So hell yeah, we are going to a good start. And it is a really good show. Don't worry. My name is Elijah Schaefer. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. This show is not slowing down, just so you know. Slightly Offensive will continue to be released Wednesdays and Fridays at about 2 p.m. Central when we actually can get it out on time.
Yeah.
I am joined by the wonderful and lovely producer, Savannah Hernandez, who's here as well and has her podcast, Rapid Fire, which apparently is taking off as well.
Yes, a little bit. I've been, Lige, I have a special announcement. I got one person from my show to listen to our show now. So big numbers coming in,
big
guys.
Big numbers. Lots of reviews. Lots of colonoscopies. Before we got to jump in this, I got to remind you guys that a lot of you don't understand financing. You don't understand investment. You don't even understand crypto. It's all confusing to you. Well, I got to tell you about an amazing group called iTrust Capital, which makes not only investing easy, but makes investing with crypto easy. Now, Savannah's way more knowledgeable when it comes to crypto, when it comes to investments. And I myself am like, oh, what's a 401k? What's an IRA? How do I actually do this? Mm-hmm. And then you talk about crypto and I'm like, where do I start? How do I invest?
Mm-hmm.
How do I invest? How do I get into this? Well, listen to this. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can get a 401k, you can get an IRA, and you can invest with crypto tax-free. This is so amazing. So basically what this does, they give you an account. You can log into your account 24/7, invest at anything at a push of a button, and now crypto can be traded as easily as stocks. No private key or complex process at all. And they make investing in physical gold and silver easy as well. So this is like the one-stop shop to invest and to allow yourself to have the investments that you need and to secure your money. In fact, a lot of wealthy people are investing their money in crypto, and over $1 billion was actually spent using crypto-linked cards this last year, this part of the year already. So this is becoming the center for all investments. And I got to tell you guys this, iTrust Capital makes it so easy. They use a blockchain ledger that gives you digital ownership of the physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. This is not a security, derivative, future, or other financial contract. This is fully backed by physical gold that is deliverable upon request. And the best part is that iTrust Capital has a low transparent pricing that is 90% cheaper than comparable options. So if you're looking for an IRA to trade cryptocurrency and precious metals tax-free and some way to jump into the market, go to itrustcapital.com. That's itrustcapital.com. itrustcapital.com. Use promo code OFFENSIVE. You'll get your first month free and free crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide, which you can transfer over to them free without any fees. Honestly, if you're looking to start investing, if you don't know where to start with crypto, with gold, with your future, with retirement, this is the one-stop shop. Go to this service. Go to itrustcapital.com. Use promo code OFFENSIVE. Get your first month free. What can you lose getting your first month free? So I know Brian Stelter. I just have to bring this up. I am having so much fun. Can we go to the screen? This is Brian Stelter, 25 booster shots in. The year is 20. This is Brian Stelter in 2 years. The year is 2023. Mm-hmm. You have 25 booster shots. Yeah. You're taking your twice daily pill, which Pfizer's developing.
Yeah.
Right? You have your twice daily pill.
I haven't left my house in 14 years. I'm growing multiple other limbs.
Look at this. I think if you go down here, this is my favorite thing. I'm starting to actually say things. I wrote this from him too. Like, where my quadruple vaccinated brothers at? Counting down the days until my twice daily Pfizer pill. It's okay to pull your masks down to take your pills despite what some unbalanced people are saying.
You know what? This just indicates to me how sick you are. Look at how much you're enjoying this. This is like, I don't even know what to say, Elijah. You know what?
Do you see the egg in the name? Do I added a little egg emoji next to the verification badge?
See, when Elijah tells us that he works really hard, this is what he's talking about.
Yeah,
he's like,
exactly.
Look, it's a lot of work to dedicate your Twitter account to half a day to Brian Stelter.
It's true. It's actually true. And the only reason why I have to change it is because I have to eventually start promoting our show. Mm-hmm. So these tweets are going to look really weird once I switch back to Elijah's show.
No context.
No, I know. It's absolutely getting crazy. But I want to talk to you about a few things. So let's jump jump into this. So obviously, you know, Texas is fighting back. Texas is becoming Texas again. We've gotten crazy. We've done insane things like made constitutional carry. We've restricted abortion. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not happy about this, but nobody is more angry than the Satanists. No, those are just gay people, but we'll talk about them. The Satanists.
Oh my gosh. I wasn't ready for that. I like switched to your computer and I was like, that's not a,
okay.
So good.
All right. You know, it's all in good humor here, folks.
Of course.
We're a little bit frazzled today. I'm not going to lie. I'm over here just watching you just interact with Savannah thinking, oh God.
Well, this is the difference is like people want to know. So like a good thing is what's the difference between this show and our show at night is that an important thing is that as Savannah said, she always tries to get me to read hard news and we just end up laughing at people for like an hour.
Which is fun. You need that. You need that in today's society, given how jacked everything is and how boring everyone's
becoming. That's so fair. Yeah.
But this being said, I mean, like, I think that people need to realize the new show will be a mashup of you being your regular ridiculous Brian Stelter self and my overly serious, haha, this isn't going to talk to myself in my own videos. And then that intersection between the two.
It's very conversational. We're getting a lot deeper. So if you've been wanting more like deep conversational stuff, this Slightly Offensive is a show for people with ADHD because I have it.
Yeah.
And that's what this has become. And so make sure that you do subscribe because we're going to be talking about a lot of interesting stories every day. And it's really going to be amazing. But also to stay with this show because we're going to be having a lot of laughs every Wednesday and Friday and a lot of serious stuff. But let's talk about this. So we've restricted abortion. A lot of people are unhappy about that.
Yes.
It is interesting, though, according to Salon Magazine, that Satanists may be the last best hope to save abortion rights in Texas. Who knew that in the end that the non-theistic organization joins the fray with the last-ditch effort legal maneuver to save abortion rights? Let's talk about this.
Could you call them non-theistic, though? Because isn't belief in Satan... Well, I guess Satan's not a god. So yeah, I guess they are non-theistic.
And the Leviathan Satanism. Are you familiar with Anton LaVey and the Satanic Bible?
More or less, yes.
I dabbled in Satanism. Do you know that?
I am not shocked to learn this. Savannah, are you shocked to learn this?
A little
bit. I am not.
Well,
I'm kind of wild.
One of my first YouTube videos ever was like going to a satanic holy site. We used to go at night and I got really interested in Satanism for a while when I was atheist. Cause I wanted to see if like spirits were real. Cause I did mushrooms one time and I thought I met, I thought I met like demons or something. Ooh. So I got awakened to like
but
the
in
spirit.
Fact, it was your brain just like chucking out a heap of chemicals.
Well,
and
some
and
might argue, you don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know.
You never know.
You could have accessed people. Cernovich would argue with you. Mm. Well, I don't know, but I do know this, that I was using, I was using this, hallucinogenic drug called 5-MeO-DIPT. Have you heard, you know, the designer differences of hallucinogenics, how they're so much stronger and more intense.
Okay. I want everyone to know this. I don't do drugs. It's like not a thing.
I'm not doing the drugs
Elijah
either.
Elijah has done drugs. I do not do drugs. So when he says this stuff to me as if I would know, I don't know.
Say, have you ever heard of a carcinogen?
Sydney, do you know what this thing is that you inject into your eyeballs and then it makes your head look like scrump and then here we are just being one giant... No, I don't know.
No, I actually became convinced that spirits
were
real.
I'm a nice girl.
Because I was doing this with my brother and then he got like possessed and started convulsing and then I touched him and like a spirit left his body and entered mine and I felt like I was falling for 1,000 years in a dark hole and then it left my body. Yeah, like I was like I thought I was gone forever. I thought I had left my, I felt like I lost control of my body and I left my mind.
So, this was you dabbling in Satanism.
Well, I was reading the Satanic Bible and stuff and I had a spirit possess me and it freaked me out and woke me up to have to try to find God.
I want to make the point here though, that I don't disbelieve what you're saying in the sense that I think the spirit thing is such an interesting discussion and such an interesting conversation.
Well, it doesn't help my credibility. So there's no reason to say it unless it was true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody would be making this stuff up. I mean, why would you make this stuff up? Anyway, it is odd.
This is different though. I'm saying this is different. This is not channeling your spirits. This is a humanism. There are rituals,
but
it's to self. It's serving your self interest. It's a humanism.
Yeah, it's like a hedonistic sort of Dorian Gray-esque situation. I understand. I know what Satanism is all about.
Would you ever consider yourself a Satanist?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. We can move on from there.
Do I pray to the Dark Lord? No, I am the Dark Lord. Your wife gets very upset with me when I make these sort of comments because she's like, Sydney, it's not funny. I'm like, but it is to me.
Speaking of darkness, Brian Stelter's colon, you know, self-done colonoscopies. No, here's what's crazy. This is what's interesting. I would say that abortion is satanic. Now, it's interesting, though, that people would disagree with me in the past. That everything that I would say was a conspiracy in the past is now becoming reality.
Which is so odd when you think about
that. The Christian right and everything they've been saying for years is now coming to fruition. Where they're like, say, it's a satanic ritual. And everyone's like, no, it's not. It's healthcare. And then listen to this. Mm-hmm. As pro-choice and reproductive health groups are scrambling to make sense of Texas's new near total abortion ban. It's like, I can't make sense of this. It's very simple, guys. Very simple. We're a state that doesn't believe abortion is a human right and we think it's murder. And there are some states that don't believe that. Just, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have New York, which is performing late term abortions, which are arguably super, super the worst thing that you could possibly do. It's very jacked. I don't like watching the videos of that sort of stuff.
They shunt the back of the heads with scissors.
It's a lot.
They also stab the brain.
I think that arguably, Lauren Chen made this distinction. She said that there's a difference between being pro-abortion and pro-choice. I don't want to get into that. But I think that anybody, even people who are pro-choice, would argue that murdering little actual fully formed babies is super jacked.
See, and I think another thing that woke up a lot of people too is when Ralph Northam came out and basically said that you could potentially kill a child that has been born at 9 months.
That was a whole thing.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, in Massachusetts. Until this moment.
That was Virginia.
Well, I thought it was Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is still screwed, but listen.
Because someone was petitioning, I believe it was Massachusetts, feel free to correct me, because I think that this is a different story to the Virginia thing, where someone in Massachusetts was basically petitioning the governor, because there's a female governor in Massachusetts, is there not?
I wouldn't be surprised.
To basically make it so that you can't murder children in failed abortion attempts. And the governor, I believe it was Massachusetts, I might be wrong.
The Born Alive Act, I think, is what you're referencing, maybe?
Mm, this was recent. This happened super recently. There was a petition, and the governor of whichever state this was, I think it was Massachusetts, basically was like,
yeah, so, I know. Well, we'll see. Super jacked.
Anyway, sorry, Elijah, continue. I've totally derailed what you're saying.
No, this totally makes sense. But listen to this. Mm-hmm. As pro-choice and reproductive health groups are scrambling to understand what went into effect, it appears this efforts to skirt the law are getting an unexpected boost from one organization in particular, the Satanic Temple. The Supreme Court on Wednesday night allowed the state to implement a ban on the procedures after 6 weeks, before most women know they are pregnant, with no carve-outs for rape or incest. Until it is blocked or overturned, the law effectively nullifies the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which establishes abortion as a constitutional right in Texas. Enter the Satanic Temple, the non-theistic organization, which is headquartered in Salem, Massachusetts, of course, joined the legal fray this week by sending a letter to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration demanding access to abortion pills for its members. The group has established an abortion ritual and is attempting to use the Regional Freedom Restoration Act, which was created to allow Native Americans access to peyote for religious rituals, to argue that its members should be allowed access to abortion drugs like misoprostol. I think I'm saying that wrong. I always say these drugs wrong.
Yeah, that's usually because the names are
Helpful. Yeah, I haven't. I'm pretty bad with these things.
Same.
For religious purposes. Okay, so here's the interesting thing. So, number one, we are now in 2021. Mm-hmm. If this didn't shake your mind, listen to me. I'm telling you, abortion is murder. And that's why Satanists who believe in the self and the value of oneself, they believe that your sexual freedom is more valuable. This is them, of course, from our last episode.
Doing some drumming.
Yeah, doing some drumming. That legitimately they're saying, we think abortion is part of our religious expression. I mean, I could just say that's satanic,
which it sort of is. I'm trying to find an article. There was one that everybody was talking about recently that also was a satanic temple or a woman saying that she was, oh, here it is. The people are so weird. This is not related to abortion, but the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg pushed me to join a satanic temple. I can't even speak English. It's so weird to me how people, like in this case, you know, obviously this is just someone being pushed to join a Satanist organization. It's weird to me how that's the answer. It's like, why do when things happen, you turn to Satanism? This is so strange. I don't even know. This is such an American-esque thing too, I think, as well.
No, Satanism is one of the fastest growing religions in Australia as well right now.
Well, I mean, that doesn't shock me because...
Yeah, I know. because of what's going on there. But like,
for sure.
But my point is, look at this. Go to my screen. They're saying, because they say like, oh, because we want abortions to be safe and legal, rare and legal. But the problem with the abortion thing is this says, you know, from CNS News that abortion clinic rushed to complete 67 abortions in 17 hours before Texas heartbeat bill law took an effect. Mm-hmm. A single doctor at a Texas abortion clinic performed 67 abortions in 17 hours before the state's heartbeat law went into effect on Wednesday. And so what's crazy is that I don't think this was 67 people who were raped or were raped by like their father or something. Mm-hmm. I think these are just people, as we're seeing, who are using abortion as birth control. And objectively, that is not only destructive to your body, but you're murdering children just so, because you want someone to nut in you and you can't. Like, what is this with people getting pregnant all the time? How are they doing this?
Yeah, I know. So I actually have a question for you. So given that the Texas law basically precludes the aborting a baby because of rape or incest.
After 6 weeks.
Do you think that those babies should be carried to term? I'm really interested in this.
Well, here's the thing.
Because you have really strong stances here, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Not this I think, but here's objectively.
Yeah.
When you look at the percentage, I think in most places, Savannah, isn't it less than 1%?
Oh, it's a very small percentage of women who were raped.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
But still, yeah. does that change anything?
Well, I'm just curious. Yeah, this is the question that you have to ask yourself a couple things. Like, number mm-hmm. one, what is the value of a life? It matters of when you think life begins and what the value is, yeah. and when human rights come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to believe that life begins at conception, mm-hmm. which apparently Joe Biden agrees with me too, as early as 2015.
Yeah, I saw that too.
He agreed that life began at conception as 2015.
He's a very odd Catholic. He's a very odd example of a Catholic.
Yeah, and that's objective a stance, not only of the church, but also of just science. as a science that I don't, I mean, there's no other place that you can demarcate the difference of when there's fusion and you begin to create this zygote and you have this fusion of the egg and the sperm.
Is that
now
how
you have
zygote? I ever say zygote.
You could probably say zygote if you want to, but
no, but answer my
American.
Question.
That's
answer
what I'm saying.
Question.
No, what I'm saying is that when that's where it comes down to the fact where it's like, well, that sucks. Obviously, we should try to combat rape. And also, mm-hmm. I don't know who's doing the incest. Apparently, those TikTokers, right? Who's doing the incest?
You go on Pornhub and like every single thing is all on the front page of Pornhub is like, incest. I had sex with my sister. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like,
well, I think the people looking at Pornhub, are already kind of messed up. Well, see, and two, also, I want to point out.
Statistically, like 7 out of 10 of our viewers are regularly looking at Pornhub that are male. I'm not joking.
Oh, no. Really? Guys.
I think it's 73% of conservative right leaning people look at porn like at least several times a week.
I think that porn has destroyed an entire generation of people, or maybe several generations of people. And I think that that's like a whole conversation I would actually love to have on our show. Because I think that that's such an interesting discussion. And
let's bring a sexologist and an anti-porn expert.
We totally should. Yes. Oh my God. We actually should. On a serious note, or someone who's at least addicted to porn, and ask them about it.
That's probably like everybody. I mean, do you know that they tried to do a study mm-hmm. on men who hadn't looked at porn through random sampling, and they had to cancel the study because they couldn't find a man who hadn't looked at porn?
You know what's so weird?
That's so crazy.
It's so weird I think like when I think about this specific topic, and sorry to like TMI everybody, I never was actually exposed to porn properly until I was in my 20s. Never watched it as a teenager, never had any exposure. And I think that's why a lot of the things that I'm exposed to as an adult completely trip me out. I go, you want me to do what? You want me to what?
Brian Stelter, what are you asking me to do to your colon?
Seriously, I just go, wow. Why? But then you think about it, and it's so society is so jacked up at this point that, you know, you murder your kid and then you go and watch brother and sister having sex. I mean, that's wonderful.
Step brother. That's like the joke always, too.
It's
you know,
so creepy.
I used to be used to be addicted to a lot of pornography. Like when you're a teenager, you don't know. When I was a teenager, it came out and everyone was like, oh, porn. And at school, they told us porn was good.
No.
Like it was good to look at porn and masturbate. We're now knowing the effects today.
Yeah.
And I would say that my generation, the millennials, are the generation that got hooked on porn and stuff when they were teenagers. And I mean, I never had like a crazy addiction where I was like looking at porn in the school bathroom or things like that.
Right.
Because, I mean, guys would, but I mean,
you
weren't
just sneaking out from class to do a little.
Yeah. To be, not just be a wanker, but to, you know, go get one off.
Have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, look, with images like this circulating online, go back to my screen. God knows how we don't all just get tempted all the time. But no, but I mean, realistically speaking, I think that I didn't realize the adverse, you know, I didn't start seeing the damaging effects of porn until I was like 19.
Yeah.
And then I realized I never had the erectile dysfunction that a lot of guys get because I didn't have that extreme of a of an addiction, mm-hmm. but I was going, huh, this is actually weird because it makes me less happy with my partner per se. And I can like, now I know what a million and one people are. And I felt depressed and you know, without semen retention, you can end up getting, you feel like sort of foggy.
Yeah.
It's called a post-nut clarity. Meaning you start looking at things, getting exposed to things, it can change. And I'm not talking about change you gay to straight, but what I meant is you can start getting into things. Like that's why people stop looking at normal sex, just like one-on-one sex. You have to get into threesomes and foursomes and orgies and things.
Yeah.
And people start going more extreme, mm-hmm. where you have people masturbating to SpongeBob porn.
That's
and
so
I know
weird.
That because people send it to me on a regular basis that don't like me. And the only way I could think that you
not
have
SpongeBob.
Access to SpongeBob pornography is if you're
you
looking at
watch it. You know, it's funny that you bring this up because like with the extremism that comes with watching porn, like the way that it eventuates, I suppose, of someone very, very close to me. It's interesting. He and I have been friends for years and years and years. And we had this conversation not too long ago where he was sort of lamenting some issues that he was having with a partner of his, yada, yada, in the sense that, you know, things weren't operating as they should. And I said, well, did you ever consider that it's because you, in fact, watch far too much porn and this woman in the situation is not mimicking what you are used to? And it was funny because initially he got really defensive. And then I think he thought about it and perhaps, because, you know, this is someone who actually works in the scientific field. I think what he did was then he went and looked into it a little bit. And then he came back a couple weeks later and he said, I have definitely drastically reduced how much I intake because I think that you were right. And I'm going, well, yeah, because dude, you've got this like lovely girl that you're dating who's a wonderful woman who wants to do normal, quote unquote, you know, normal stuff. Doesn't want the double penetration. She's not about that life. And you're over here watching people pee on people and spit in each other's mouths. I mean, I think that there's a big disparity there between
okay, then.
What she
what
can give you.
What is this episode about again?
You know, I will. I can tell you
things
somebody who probably wants to be peed on.
I don't know what to tell you.
Every time.
I can think of somebody who wants to be peed on if you go this.
He doesn't just want to be peed on. He also wants to have people spit in his mouth.
Yeah. You know, but the spitting in the mouth is one thing. I mean, we're not into kink shaming on the show. We don't talk about that kind of stuff. But most importantly, I don't know, but the pee and spit are different.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Grandma. This is the part of the episode. I'm sorry.
Grandma. I took us here.
She took us here.
I'm not actually trying to be gross about this. I'm actually not. On a serious note, I know people who watch this sort of thing, who enjoy this sort of thing. And again, it's like you say, you're not kink shaming, but I do think that there is something quite strange about filming that, participating, and then putting it on the internet. You know, I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm really not. I'm being serious. I know.
No, I know.
And I'm over here, this like person that never interacted with this, going, oh my God, what is happening?
For people who aren't watching, I mean, if you're our blind viewers and you're listening, obviously you don't see that we keep flashing pictures of Brian Stelter on the screen. But obviously, if you are listening, then you've got to find a way to get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands, which is why I got to tell you about Raycons. What's interesting is I was just wearing my Raycons yesterday at the gym. And what I like about them is, number one, that they fit in your ear very tightly and you can't see them. But most importantly, a lot of times when we do interviews and stuff, our more expensive premium brands that are out there, they have these little like sticks coming out and they don't look good when you're doing interviews. Now Sydney and I were on an interview yesterday.
Yes.
And we used Raycons. Mm-hmm. They fit in the ear. They're comfortable.
I'd never worn them before. And I actually really liked, because I never wear those little earbud thingies. I always have the big guys. And I really enjoyed that you can like flip them up so that they physically fit
and
in your ear.
You can't see them.
Yes.
So they look nice.
Yeah,
they have
look
a good
nice.
Aesthetic, especially if you're
I
at work
it.
Or anywhere and you're trying to listen to music and you want to mm-hmm. keep it low key. They have a microphone. And guys, they look great, but they feel even better. And they come in a range of colors with customizable gel tips included for a comfortable in-ear fit. They're also built to go wherever you go with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. And I want you to listen up right now. Raycon is offering 15% off all of their products for my listeners. Here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com. That's buyraycon.com/offensive and get 15% off your entire Raycon order. Get one for yourself. Get one for someone else. Guys, these are not pricey like the expensive brands, but you get amazing sound quality for the price that you are paying. Go to buyraycon.com/offensive. That's buyraycon.com/offensive. Get 15% off everything in your order. Check them out. They also have over-the-ear headphones too. I don't know if you can see that. That was on the screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do.
I like
so
that
you can always check that out.
So
anyway,
as you talk, I try to find things so that I can bring them up. So
no, that's good. They'll
like
probably be sponsoring our new
person.
Show too. So then they'll probably send you a pair that you would want. I got the little blue ones because I just wanted to try something.
I have been
fun.
Wanting them to sponsor my channel for the longest time.
We'll get them there.
And they
Raycon, listen.
They emailed me back and they said no.
We can get Kathy to get them on there. All right, so let's talk about this. So obviously we're talking about the satanic thing. They've taken this over. We're talking about this. And what's interesting is that like Bette Midler is talking and she goes, "Here's what we should protest to do. I suggest that all women refuse to have sex with men until they are guaranteed the right to choose by Congress." Literally her response to the abortion ban is to side with the conservatives' view for society, which is that women would not be having extramarital or premarital sex.
Abstinence.
She is coming in hot promoting abstinence as a punishment for the abortion law. And I know that like this, everyone has a different view. People always assume that I'm super conservative because I work at the Blaze. If you don't watch the show regularly, I don't identify as conservative. Mm-hmm. Just for giggles, I call myself a California conservative. Yeah. I think it's the funniest thing. Yeah. It makes people so angry. The people are so weak and snowflake. They get triggered by the dumbest things.
Why would that trigger someone?
I don't know. There's all these people that get so mad at that phrase, like they think it's the worst thing ever. And it's like the best part is to trigger people that think they're not getting triggered by just putting stuff in your bio. Just like today, I don't know if you guys know anything about
eggs.
I don't know if you know anything about my bio today and about me enjoying triggering people. Let me go to my profile. I don't know if you know anything about me enjoying this, but obviously I have a history of using my bios to just trigger people. No, but I meant that, you know, but ultimately speaking, I think conservatives hold the best way forward in a lot of ways for society.
Yeah.
And I think that they're fighting back against the evil. And mm-hmm. I like the conservatives that are winning. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because now Bette Midler's like, "Hey, let's punish them by doing what they're asking." I mean, do they not see their hypocrisy?
No, they don't. I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it? That if you want abortion laws to be what you want, then obviously maybe you should also be promoting the fact that people should not participate in unsafe sex. And because also too, in America, STDs are so rampant. I don't think people realize how common chlamydia is, for example. So firstly, wrap it up a little bit. But also, I mean, yeah.
Wrap that carrot.
One of my friends, only if you're sticking it in your butt. One of my friends has this theory, not a theory, but the way that he sort of participates in having sexual relations with women. And when he told me this, I thought it actually, you know, if you're going to do it, maybe participate in the way that my mate does it, which he said that he will not have sex with a girl unless he is prepared to have a kid with her. Meaning that unless he wants to see that woman every single day for the rest of his life, do not have sex with her. And that's basically the way he goes about things. So if he doesn't like you enough, he's not going to do it. Now, I think the problem is that a lot of men, not just men, women do it too. Casual sex has destroyed an entire generation of people. Same with porn. And the problem is that people think that there's this like quick, easy solution in the form of, you know, terminating a pregnancy, when in reality, that should never be on the table. That shouldn't be on the table.
But why is it that the people who get abortions get multiple abortions?
I know girls who've done this too.
There's only a few days out of the month, man, that you can get pregnant.
Seriously, getting pregnant is hard.
And honestly speaking, pulling out is not very difficult. And if you use even natural contraceptives, I don't like contraceptives, and I personally think they make women crazy, and I think they're stupid. But I will say
what's the other option then?
The day, like your ovulation calendar, it's more accurate. Daisy has a higher, you know, the Daisy thermometer has a more reliability rate than condoms, meaning it's more reliable in terms of that. But it's not, you can get it, your insurance can provide it. You can get it through a lot of different, there's free ways to get it.
There's not enough information. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you.
Not given that information because they want to sell condoms and birth control.
But this is, and I have very strong feelings about birth control because, again, TMI, I guess this is the episode Sydney gives a lot of information about herself. I came off of birth control a couple years ago because it made me crazy.
They want the women crazy. They want you crazy.
It's totally screwed up my hormones. It's insane. I have all these like after effects and that's just me. It's not to say that every woman will go through this.
It shocks women to basically thinking that they're like kind of like pregnant or like all the time.
It pumps you full of estrogen.
Yeah, because do you know this? Do you want to hear something crazy?
I have an estrogen sensitivity now because of taking basically birth control for like 10 years. I'm glad to have not gotten pregnanant. I'm very glad.
Pregnante.
I'm very glad because obviously, not that I want to get into this too deeply, but I am happy because I think that that's something that, you know, would really like to do with a husband. and have like little baby tiny Sydney Viking humans. But, you know, birth control does make you crazy. But the problem is that I wish on some level, no, on every level, that either a doctor or in school, someone had told me all the information pertaining to getting pregnant and all these sort of things and the ways, the alternatives to birth control, because they don't offer that to you. And so you think that the only way that you can potentially stop yourself from getting pregnant is using condoms, which are great, just by the way, going on birth control, which I am
debatable.
Not so such a fan of. Well, I mean, if you don't want to be taking a pill.
Want to wear
a
raincoat in the shower?
No, but also, do you want a child? Because you can't, I mean, it's like you can't have it both ways, you know? So
there's just ways to not have kids. People don't have sex is the biggest one. Yeah, exactly. But do you want to hear the something? Biggest, do you want to hear? I had this, I had something crazy realization. Working women, where's my working women? Can you go on the screen there, Savannah?
My working women.
So listen, so this is something really interesting because. Mm-hmm. So I've been exploring other ideas that are not traditionally my own. And people may notice that my brain has been developing and thinking, and my stances on things have changed because it's this crazy thing where you don't owe anybody anything to believe anything. And you can always explore your ideas, and you should never just join one group and hail to one leader. You should always be trying to refine your thoughts and explore new ideas and understand the truth more holistically. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, when we talk about this idea, John is really big in this idea that democracy is gay, or I think, what does he say? Democracy is cringe or something like that. I don't know. But he has this idea, and a lot of people hold this idea, right? And there's this whole side of the right wing about they hate the Industrial Revolution. And so I've been kind of studying their thoughts and their thinking. And one thing that kind of came to my mind that they didn't say directly is that their conclusion, of course, is that the elites, like this oligarchy that runs things, mm-hmm. eventually have no allegiance to the country. They just look at the country as a financial output to make them rich. And they only have allegiance to themselves and the other elites to keep that power.
Yep.
And they will make decisions that will hurt the country for the sake of wealth. Having women in the workforce, considering the fact that at its height, like only about 4% of women in a lot of states and territories really wanted to go to work. Mm-hmm. Putting women to work does nothing to help the culture of our country, mm-hmm. the society of our country, but it does create a larger economy and a greater economic output, which then lines their pockets, but it doesn't make people better. It doesn't make people happier. Again, I said, there's a difference with letting some women work that want to work or that need to work because they're in a position where they have to, their husband leaves them, their husband dies, etc. I get it. I understand. There's a lot of great single moms out there that are desperate and they're doing their best. So I'm not shaming them,
yeah.
But I think most women don't run a work and they would rather not be the provider. Even if they ran an Etsy shop, they don't want to be the main provider. Mm-hmm. You even want to marry an oil baron. So there's that. But what I mean is that I realized the push for women to work was
I want to marry an oil baron because I want a, you know, lovely house.
No, but they destroyed our country. Things. They knew that it was bad for society and our culture to force women to be in the workforce. And that's why they have to push the birth control. Because here's the point. They want you to be in the workforce. They don't want you to make the decision. They don't want you to have kids. They don't want you to stay home because they want you to make them money. And they want competition and they want to drive down the cost of labor. And that's why they want to do it. I believe so.
I think that, I agree and disagree with you here because I think that the feminist movement in the 1960s is a little, and 70s is a little more complicated than people make it out to be. So I think that the birth control thing and the abortion thing, and funnily enough, people don't realize this, the abortion on demand thing was actually pushed predominantly by two men. So that's an interesting thing because I started researching this for a video recently and then actually didn't make the video that I'd planned to make. But anyway, that's a whole other aside. But I think it's a little more complicated than what people understand because I think it tied into the fact that women were getting trapped in these marriages where they were being abused or whatever and they couldn't get out. They felt like their only option was to basically stick it out in these situations that they didn't want to be in. They felt like marriage is being forced upon them. They felt like, having children that they didn't want to have was a thing. And it's not to say that I'm defending the feminist movement in any capacity. I just think that there's a lot of factors that went into the birth control thing. Being a woman that was on birth control.
But I said why they push it, right? Yeah. Like why they want it so easily accessible, put it in schools, give it to people. Sure. Like it's not just like, again, it's not just like, can women work or can women have access to these things? Let's say that the best case for a woman is to be independent on birth control, living alone in your little city apartment and working. Hell no, you're going to be so depressed. There's like 1% of women who are genuinely going to be happy with that because there are some that are just built like that. And I understand, just like there are some very feminine guys that you know, literally on a rare occasion might work better at home than in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But that's not what's healthy for a society.
No, and I would agree with that. I think that the origins of it, and it's the same with everything, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So the feminist movement of the 1960s and 70s might have started off with the idea that they were genuinely liberating women from abusive marriages, from, you know, pregnancies that they simply didn't want to have, or children that they weren't ready for, et cetera, et cetera. And I say this talking about birth control specifically, and it's ended up in this thing where we do have it pushed in schools, we do have it pushed by doctors, and we're also not given all the right information. I don't know if, and I'd be interested to hear in the comments if other women felt this way. I don't felt like I was properly given all the information that I might have needed to make a better informed decision about whether or not to pump my body full of chemicals for 10 years.
I didn't even know Plan B was an abortacant when I was.
It's not. It's progesterone. Basically, it just stops you from.
It technically is. It's categorized.
It's not. Yes. Because it just stops you. No, it stops your body from releasing an egg. That's what it does. That's why women get pregnant all the time from taking Plan B. This is what I'm saying. There's so much misinformation and it pisses me off.
But I'm saying that's why you have to get it from the, like, you can't just, like, you have to go get it from behind the counter.
No, you don't. You can literally buy it off the shelf.
I don't think here you can. You hear?
Yes, right, you in can. Texas? You can buy it right off the shelf.
Because when I had to do it, I just showed an ID and mm-mm. get it.
Here in Texas, you can buy it right off the shelf.
I didn't even know what it was. I was told by a doctor to go get it when I was younger. Like, go get one of these. And I didn't, well, there's no information. Just go get this. And the more I've read about Plan B and what it is and actually understanding and looking at it, I'm going, that actually, even then, I still probably wouldn't have gotten it if I knew what it was. Yeah, of course it doesn't always work, but I'm just saying at the same time, things are so backwards that look at this.
But dude, it just pumps your body full of progesterone and stops you from, it just basically makes you not produce an, or not release an egg when you normally would. That's all it does. It doesn't stop you from getting pregnant. It doesn't stop egg.
Saying I know it doesn't always stop you from getting pregnant. That's why it doesn't always work.
Yeah, that's
why. Let me see this for us.
Plan B is not 100%. I don't know why women think it is. It's really odd. But again, this is what I'm saying. There's so much misinformation. There's so much not information. Birth control is it's an interesting, interesting thing. I mean, again, I think the origin of a lot of this is the fact that we made sex super accessible and didn't give people the proper information to not participate in. And you're just like, Sydney, you've opened a can of worms on this topic because I have a lot of feelings, as you can tell.
I'm looking at this of what's going on, and it is not causing abortion. Yes. So that's why it is even with the church, and what I'm looking at here is because of what it does with preventing ovulation and what's happening with possibly preventing fertilization and getting in the way of the actual contraceptive, that it can be considered that, and it could cause problems with that. So that's why the church does have it banned. I actually have read about this many times. You're not supposed to use this. Catholics definitely aren't supposed to use this. So that's why I'm saying that's where I'm not, so I don't confuse the audience. Yes. It is not actually causing abortion, and I didn't think it did, no. But it could cause, and it can cause complications, because sometimes when you've taken things, you never know what's going to really happen, and it could cause problems with them actually meeting. So that's what I'm saying.
It stops them from meeting because it stops your body. It delays your body from releasing an egg. That's what it does.
I feel better about myself because I think the last time I read about Plan B was when I was about 18 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to know that it's not exactly what I was told by somebody, but I'm also happy to see here that
it just stops that release.
But then
here's the thing, right, about Plan B. People don't realize is because you're pumping your body full of a new chemical, a new hormone all of a sudden, a lot of women will bleed for like 7 days straight, sometimes a month. Some women don't have any symptoms, and I think that that's, you know, great for them. But a lot of women, your typical woman, will just bleed after taking Plan B. I know women that have taken it who've had like really kind of crappy experiences on it.
Can I clarify though? Because I did learn in school that this was an abortificant, and it does say here, according to this study, that it can be categorized as that simply because of what it can do. It can be, and sometimes is, it's saying here, according to this institute, that it can be. And that's what I was taught too, that's what it was. And that's why it shocked me when I was learning in school, and I would go, I remember because I just knew to take Plan B and give it to somebody. And it wasn't even like for my girlfriend. It was for somebody else that needed me to buy it because you had to be 18 to buy it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I remember like I was, you know, shocked to realize that I might have done something to someone that I didn't want to do. Because even when I didn't believe in God, I never wanted to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. I don't know why people think that it's like only Christians that are against abortions. But when I wasn't a Christian, I was like, that's effed. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, again, I feel like I don't think Plan B, I actually think it's really, really disingenuous and kind of crappy for religious institutions to say that it does somehow terminate a pregnancy, because it doesn't. It just doesn't. it just stops a sperm and an egg. It doesn't even stop a sperm and an egg meeting. It just stops you from releasing your egg when you normally would. Okay, all right, I'm done talking about this.
Okay, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna link this in the description, actually, this article. And you guys let us know in the comments whether when you read the studies, and you can link other studies as well.
Yeah,
if you
people, think it is, people full
because
send.
I don't mind, because we need to figure this out. I gotta know, is Plan B just emergency contraceptive, or is it abortifacient? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm interested. We need
to, yeah, because I'm looking at this, and this is the second institute I've looked at on here right now.
Are
and
they religious
saying,
institutes?
This is from just Teresa Donovan, and it just is not talking about, I don't know if this is, but it's not talking about religion here.
I think, and look, there's, I mean, now that people know that I'm one of those dirty agnostic atheisty people, I do get a little bit bothered when I think that there is some misinformation that comes out of religious websites and things, in the same way that obviously sometimes people misuse science. I think that this is the same sort of thing where, and this is the problem, Elijah, is because there's so many conflicting interests when it comes to reproduction and sex and birth control and blah, that people who have particular bents and leanings towards this sort of thing will mislead people in order to achieve the ends that they want. Now, you said this before in terms of people pushing birth control to achieve the ends that they want.
No, this is an educational institution to understand contraceptive and life, and it was actually started by a feminist.
Okay, well, good. Good.
I don't
if
know.
Anyway, people in the comments will correct us.
Yeah, let
and
us
I
know,
look,
doctors.
And I look forward, because I actually really like reading your comments, so please don't leave me mean ones, guys. I get it. My accent sucks. But no, I'm always interested to hear people who are smarter than me and you correcting us.
I just got really confused because... Okay, I got really confused because I thought I knew one thing about Plan B, but I think we both know two sides of Plan B.
Yeah.
And I'm also wondering, too, if kind of like with the shot, COVID shot, I'm wondering if there's different brands and there's different strengths, different medications that can be categorized as Plan B. So maybe depending on which one you use, it can be different as well.
There's
I'm just against
chemical
contraceptives. I don't like them personally. I don't think they're good for society. I think people just need to stop
having sexual relations.
Like you just... learn to control
themselves. But that's not the world that we live in. And I, you know, it's funny. Your wife actually sent me this thing the other day and she said, Sydney, I think you'll really enjoy this. Cause I love these conversations about, you know, casual dating and casual sex and all this sort of stuff, because I love looking at the mechanisms and how it has, in fact, in my opinion, sort of messed up society in a lot of ways. And, you know, as a teenager, well, not even as a teenager, because I wasn't participating yet. I didn't really kiss a boy until I was 16, et cetera, because I was a weirdo and boys didn't like me. But, you know, in my early 20s, I kind of acted in a way that I'm not super proud of. Not super unproud of it, but not proud of it by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't until I got older that I realized, oh, holy crap, the casual dating, the casual sex thing, not good, really bad, in fact, very bad for your soul. I don't think you have to be religious to think that it might be a little bit bad for your soul. I think it takes out chunks of you and, you know, kind of sell them to whoever you're involving yourself with in like a non-meaningful way. And so I think it's interesting too that your wife, she sent me this thing, a podcast. She basically, and the title of it effectively was, you know, how casual dating and casual sex has ruined men. And I think that's such an interesting thing, because when we have these conversations, they're never holistic. And I think that if we looked at it from the perspective of how is birth control, how is casual sex, how is not, you know, basically pushing for abstinence, I suppose. I know that that's not realistic, push for abstinence, but I think that that might help society somewhat.
Can we at least tell people what the pullout method is?
Yeah,
Has anybody not heard of this?
Yeah, exactly.
I know they say you could still get pregnant from that, and that's fine. But
you can literally buy ovulation strips on Google. You can buy ovulation strips on Google, women, for those of you who don't want to use birth control, like, you know, normal means of birth control. You can buy ovulation strips and track your ovulation as to not get pregnant.
That's literally what we do. And you just, the certain days where you just decide to not do it because you don't need to do it every day.
And people just need to be educated when they go into this stuff.
They do.
That's the biggest
thing.
They do,
but they're not. Look at how stupid this is. Like, this is why we can't be educated. AOC can't even get herself to say the word woman when we're talking about these kind of things. Like, we're trying to define abortion and stuff, but we can't even define what a woman is these days. Listen how stupid this sounds.
When we talk about the law that was passed in Texas, we know that anti-choice bills are not about being pro-life, because if they were about being pro-life, then the Republican Party would support, frankly, an agenda that helps guaranteed health care, that helps ensure that people who do give birth that don't have the resources to care for a child can have that care for a child. So we know that none of this is about life. None of this is about supporting life. What this is about is controlling women's bodies and controlling people who are not cisgender men. This is about making sure that someone like me as a woman or any menstruating person in this country cannot make decisions over their own body. And people like Governor Abbott and Mitch McConnell.
Now do vaccines. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Dude.
Now do the vaccines. Okay, I'm going to talk to you guys about this. We're going to get into this in a second because this actually does get pretty crazy here. Before we go any further, though, I'd let you know I am so stoked because Texas, not only, as I mentioned earlier, did the abortion reversal, which is, I think, is a good thing. Not everyone agrees with me, especially the Church of Satan. You know what else they don't like is the fact that we now have constitutional carry. And I got to tell you, I love my custom Glock 19. And most importantly, people say that's a California gun. No, it's not. My gun is illegal in California. But you know what else it is? It's always kept in an amazing holster made by Northwest Retention. And I got to tell you about this company. First of all, Sav, do we have any pictures of you modeling that? I think we do.
We do.
Okay, first of all, Savannah is always beautifully modeling her holster here. Which gun do you have, Savannah?
I think this is my 9mm or my 380. I can't remember which one it is.
And that's you in Kabul.
I was going to say, this definitely looks like Afghanistan.
Yeah, I think that is actually Kabul. So basically what this company is, Northwest Retention, is the owner is amazing. Sydney, you've met the owner as well. He's really awesome.
He's super cute. Yeah, I had a really great conversation with him. And this made me feel very enthusiastic about him sponsoring the new show too. So
yeah,
he's
I'm really
sweet human. It sounds like everything is super great quality. And I'm really looking forward to him sending me a bunch of things.
Yeah. So they make custom holsters, slings, and carriers, including their Scout chest holster, which is amazing if you run or if you have hard work to do and you can't have a gun on your side. I really love mine. I have the Gadsden flag kind of in blue and it's customized. I have actually a few of these and it's absolutely amazing. It's nice because my gun doesn't have a safety on it. So this kind of covers everything up that I need so I don't accidentally dry fire this thing or actually just genuinely fire it. But anyway, if you go to nwretention.com, that's nwretention.com, use promo code offensive to save 10%. And guys, these are custom high quality leather, amazing build, even their belt system. It's just everything there. You should check it out. If you want a good carrier for your gun and for your systems, go to nwretention.com. That is nwretention.com. Use promo code offensive to save 10%. Support one of my favorite companies as well. And that's amazing. Remind me, Savannah, to just give them some extra like social media boost too, because I actually just like the company and I use their product fairly regularly.
Yeah. I mean, people are also supporting a small business basically too. Exactly. And I think that's really important. Like build up Americans. I mean, I'm not even doing this promo thing for you, but I'm just saying like build up Americans. I think that's so important.
Yeah. So, speaking of the devil,
he's been coming up a lot in this show.
Pete Buttigieg, very gay moment here. Very gay moment. Very homosexual.
I like that they took up a bed just for a photo op.
Yeah, this is why I'm saying this is a very gay moment. Not because there are,
in fact,
homosexuals.
Yes.
Because, you know, they live in America and people are into that kind of stuff. But, and also butts, but also, but.
this sentence is getting a little convoluted.
This is why this is kind of, I mean gay in the traditional sense of just like
happy.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, is they decided to adopt a baby. And so on the other end, I do want to point out the hypocrisy. A couple things here is that people are saying, okay, people are mad that Pete Buttigieg, and I assume that's his husband. And I want to remind you that Pete Buttigieg's initials are PP butt.
I love that.
Yes.
PP butt.
Not to be confused with PP in the butt, which is an act.
Yes.
Of sodomy.
Mm-hmm.
But just pee-pee butt.
Yes, which is not, in fact.
Sex sodomy. That's
an
a name.
Act of sodomy. It is a name. Yes. It is a noun.
Okay. So to make this continually awkward, what people pointed out here is they adopted two twins. And some people are like, that's beautiful. Other people are like, why are the gays allowed to adopt? And my weird brain was just still trying to understand why they were in a hospital bed like they gave birth.
Yeah.
This is what I was confused about. I wasn't even
Where
thinking.
Are their masks?
Yes.
Where are their masks?
My brain is so confused with this kind of stuff where I just go, why does it look like they just went through labor? Like, why? Maybe, this is so bizarre.
Maybe the mum, just because you do need, just so that people are aware, you do need a woman.
But why would they have masks then? If they're in a hospital, that would make sense.
The weird little gown things.
Yeah, why would they have like gloves on or anything?
Exactly. So maybe the mom just gave birth and then they got given the bibbies.
And so they laid down in a bed together for a photo op? Weird.
That's what you do when you're a politician. You take weird opportunities to take photos doing odd things that you normally wouldn't be doing.
This moment in gay.
Here's a picture of me and my husband on a bed holding two bibbies after they just, maybe they've literally, like maybe they've just been popped out of the womb and they just happen to be sitting in a hospital. Also, why are they in a hospital room?
Where's your mask? Where's your mask,
Pee-Pee
Butt?
Where's your weird little thing, Pee-Pee Butt? Where's the little things that they put on your shoes so that you can walk around the hospital, Pee-Pee Butt?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You make me into a weird person when I come on this show. I'm so mild-mannered otherwise, and then people are like, I didn't know Sydney could swear. Did you know people said that about one of our episodes together? They were like, Sydney swears? Yes, in fact, I do. I try not to do it on air, though.
Sav is literally yawning.
What? No, I'm really enjoying this intellectual conversation today.
It's true.
I really am.
No, but there's something to pull from this. There is something to pull from this. So, Pete Buttigieg said, Chastin and I are beyond thankful for all the kind wishes since first sharing the news that we're becoming parents. We are delighted to welcome Penelope Rose and Joseph August Buttigieg to our family. I'm assuming Penelope Rose Buttigieg is also her last name. But what's interesting is that you get into this argument, actually, then this is the wholeness of society, is that people are saying, well, you can't also lambast the abortion law. Support the abortion law while also lambasting them for adopting a kid, because all you're saying is that people should want to give up their kids. This brings up the argument about what people want for society and whether people want gay couples to adopt and if we had a whole society. And I think what it comes down to is, not that this is just like people are hypocritical or what they're trying to argue with, but our society is very broken.
Yep.
And our society is broken sexually. And it's very confusing. And even I get confused because it's like, well, I don't understand this whole thing of gay couples raising kids and its effect on their health. But also at the same time, I don't want people to abort kids either. And it's hard for me to come to conclusions on these things because it looks like our society is just broken and there's not an easy answer to this kind of stuff. And I do want to take a harder stance and I do want to, take that traditional just based stance on things. But I'm trying to figure this stuff out too, because I'm going, I don't know what to do with this, because are you telling me you'd rather have these kids aborted than be in the custody of these parents? Well, you might say it's less ideal and you might not believe a gay marriage is good. You might not want kids with the gay couple. Mm-hmm. That's fair too. You can think whatever the hell you want. Mm-hmm. And it's also not biblical traditionally, but then it's like, well, but would you rather have these kids killed? And that's where I come to the hard road of where people both want abortion banned and then are mad that these people adopted these kids. It gets confusing to me, and it's fair. I'm allowed to be confused at these kinds of things.
Yeah. I think that I get the desire to want to be based, but I also think that a hardline approach to everything misses the point that life is kind of nuanced. And that everything is really context dependent. And so when it comes to, I have some pretty strong opinions towards like IVF, for example. I do actually have some opinions towards the adoption of children into non-traditional families, mom and dad. I definitely have some opinions there that are pretty much backed up by stats, I would say. And it's interesting because when it comes to the abortion conversation, I tweeted this the other day and people got really mad at me. And then they were like, meh, 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 meh. I said, if we're going to be passing legislation that prohibits abortion or that makes abortion harder to access, then we must in fact be fixing the foster and adoption systems. Because the result, the result of these abortion laws is that you have more children who are going to homes where they're not wanted. That is a fact. And if you're going to have more children that are not wanted by their parents or going into homes of parents that are ill-equipped to basically have the children, then you actually have to fix the systems that will take those children on. I don't think that that is a crazy stance to take. But the thing is that just like you said, you can't, it's really weird to me how people are so cognitively, they have cognitive dissonance to such a degree that they can't understand that, yeah, if you're gonna have more babies, they need somewhere to go. You can't just shove them into the foster system and be like, well, enjoy the sexual assault you're gonna experience for the next 18 years.
Yeah, you can't shove them into things like Brian Stelter shoves things into his colon. And I see how I brought that full circle.
This became an unintentionally very serious episode.
Yeah, it really did. Anyway, if you make it this far in the podcast, remember that this is audio only and we really appreciate you leaving a review. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's a great way to support the show. And you might get your review read on the air, as well as don't forget to become an SOB, official SOB. Go to blazetv.com/Elijah and join today. Become a member if you haven't already and you're holding out on it. Do that. It supports this show. It supports my other show and it allows us to expand. We're expanding this show and making it a lot better going forward as well. And so we're really excited for what's ahead. Anyway, let's read a couple of the reviews here. We have a review from Happy Healthy Helper. Getting healthier one episode at a time. Not only is Elijah as handsome as the great Oracle, Jesse Kelly. That's an interesting comparison. I like that. Mm. But he is a healer and an Oracle. They must be soul twins. Slightly Offensive is the best show on the blaze for my health. After listening to episode 138, I got up my fat butt and went for a 2-mile walk. I might be a nickel right now, but eventually I'll be a dime.
Aww.
I'll keep listening to the Soul Twins. That's true. You know, it is good to exercise. These headphones always make everybody look kind of like odd.
Can we just acknowledge that someone actually got off their butt to go out and exercise? I love that. I love when people are like, hey, I'm going to get fit. I love this. Good job, you.
It's true.
Bloody
it's true.
Good job.
It's true.
Hell yeah.
I'm really happy for you. Happy, healthy helper. And yeah. Okay. Bikini Bottom Jean said, what? Bikini Bottom Jean said, Elijah, Sav, Sydney, and John are my Matrix friends. In these crazy days, it seems like the internet is the Matrix and we are all plugged in. Slightly offensive makes this confusing world funny and comprehensible again. Remember that random and risque conversation you used to have with your friends at a sleepover at 12:15 a.m.? This is that. Only you can't respond, so you're kind of like the fifth wheel friend that quietly has their mind blown every 30 minutes. Saw Elijah and Sydney on Timcast this week, and I just wanted to say how important and appreciated what you guys are doing is. I'm glad they let Elijah talk about the Bible, and even if people don't want to accept Christ, you are helping them understand and hear the other side, which gets shut down often in public spaces. Love the show. God bless you all. Exploding confetti of color in your honor, right in the face. Yep, thank you. There we go. Give Sid a little bit too.
Oh.
That's nice. Yay. And Savannah. Savannah, we're excited. We got our first
always excited.
Our first
always.
Person from your show too. First review.
So true.
They're coming
you
over.
Such nice reviews. That person was lovely. That's such a lovely review.
We really love your reviews. Anyway, thank you guys so much again for watching Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this show if you don't already. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I will see you tomorrow night if you're watching this on Wednesday or Thursday or tonight at 6 p.m. Central, youtube.com/youarehere daily.
Be there, be square.
I'm signing out.